Growing up amidst a musical family in a hotbed of great bluegrass, Carroll County, Virginia, must have been a powerful shaping of how you sing. How would you say your voice has evolved over the years?
Well, the voice has matured a whole lot from the time I was a kid. I take the approach a little different than I used 2 years ago. I don't sing as hard, and I try to deliver the song with a lot of soul, and I try to mean every word I sing. Things work out pretty good now vocally. I used to can sing all night long, you know, and really just put everything in it, but I don't anymore. I go to bed early. 55 now.
So what is bringing you to Lakeland Jamboree and Katie's for a concert at this time?
Well, my bass player, John McCass, he lives in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I've played out in that part of Kentucky several times. And John knew a friend of his that'd been wanting to get me out there for a while. So we're really looking forward to playing.
I think everybody's looking forward to hearing you. Who's going to be in the band with you?
Barry Crabtree will be playing the banjo. Merle Johnson will be playing the fiddle. And Chance Ledbetter will be playing the mandolin. John McCass will be playing the bass.
It seems to me like a bluegrass vocalist like yourself kind of carries on a love affair with the fiddler in a performance.
Yeah, I have to have a great fiddler. You know, the ballads that I sing and some of the good bluegrass tunes that I do, fiddle really complements my style of vocal, you know.
Mr. King, you performed alongside Mr. Ralph Stanley for years. Would you share?
1985, I was fortunate enough to record a record with Ralph Stanley in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Ralph and I recorded in a studio in Burnie, December the 9th, 1985, and December the 8th, 1985. Took us 2 days, but I got lucky enough to do that.
What's your fondest memory of that?
Standing next to Ralph, we had these two really large microphones. Back in those days, it was the most expensive you could record with. They was on a big boom, and they was in front of both of us. You know, he would ask me if I know this song or that song, and yes, absolutely. I knew all the Standard Brothers songs because they've been my favorite since 1974, you know. And I had listened to everything that they had probably ever recorded for 9 years before I went in the studio with him.
When did you know that you wanted to sing as a lifelong career?
When I first really heard the Stanley Brothers, I really wanted a job with Ralph, you know. I wanted to, you know, to play Carter's part, you know, play the guitar and sing. I got to picking and singing, and I knew in the back of my mind I thought that's what I wanted to do. And after I went in the Marines, got out of the Marines in 1979, I went to Wilmington, Delaware, and met up with Ted Lundy's two sons, Bobby and TJ. And Ted Lundy, of course, was a banjo player from out of Wilmington, Delaware, and he played with Bob Paisley. And you'll see, you know, you may play Danny Paisley on your radio show anyway. You know, Danny's a really good picker and singer. And I got a job with them in 1980, and the first payday I got was $25 that night. And I thought, wow, this is what I want to do.
Tell me about your life before and after you got the call from Rounder Records.
Well, I had recorded a record in 1989 on the Webco label. And Bill Emerson was a producer, and he played the banjo, and Jimmy Goodrow played the mandolin, and Joe Meadows played the fiddle. Brian Wessel played the other guitar and sang tenor, and Ernie Sykes played the bass. And that was a pretty good record. It was recorded in Falls Church, Virginia, Norman Wright's studio. But things didn't start happening for me until 1992, November the 13th at 9:36 in the morning. And they say Friday the 13th is supposed to be an unlucky day. It was pretty lucky for me that day. I got the call from Ken Irwin, the producer and owner of Rounder Records, one of the owners of Rounder, that wanted me to sign a contract. Dudley Connell, that headed up the Johnson Mountain Boys in the 80s, I met him while playing with the Lundy Brothers, and Dudley and I became really good friends. And I asked Dudley if he'd, you know, do a recording with me, and then he contacted Ken Irwin, and then Ken, you know, signed me to Rounder. I'll never forget it. It was 9:36, November the 13th, 1992. I looked up at the clock. I said, wow, I finally got the call. You know, it was a very exciting moment. We, you know, I recorded These Old Pictures, and then, of course, Lonesome and Then Some, and then Bed by the Window, and then 30 Years of Farming, Storyteller, and the Gospel CD, Gardens in the Sky. Then in between all of that, I got in a band called Longview in the mid-90s, and we recorded 4 records together. Longview's been a really good band, too.
One reviewer wrote that you have remained elusive on the fringes of the bluegrass scene. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I've remained traditional. I'm second generation, but I love the old first generation style of music.
And you call your music, you say your music is not uptown music.
No, my music is, I try to make it straight, you know, traditional. Try to deal with everyday life, you know. Try to tell the story, you know, and sing the right songs. You know, Ken Irwin, my record producer, picks out a lot of great music, you know. He helps with a lot of things.
How many years have you been Male Vocalist of the Year traditional for the Society for the Preservation of Bluegrass of America?
12.
Good grief. Look at that, huh?
Yeah, 12 times.
Other people aside from me, I mean, you use the word lonesome, and surely to goodness, there's a lot of people who say that your songs are real lonesome. And that your voice,
Oh, yeah,
and that you actually break into tears in sometimes.
I do. If I hear a song, which my daughter, Shelby, tragically was killed in a car accident December the 9th of 2012, she found me the song Echo Mountain by the Dog, and that's been a big hit. And basically, when I first heard that song, when she played it to me, another band had recorded it. When she played it to me, I went into tears. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if I hear a song that makes me cry, I'm going to make you cry when I get done with it. That's just something I know how to do that the good Lord gave me the talent to do.
Do I understand that you have a new album coming out?
I have a new album coming out, and it's going to be old country songs done that it was the bluegrass vein. It's all acoustic with all bluegrass instruments. And of course, you know, we're looking forward to that recording. It's coming very soon.
So what are the tracks on it?
Well, we recorded a couple of George Jones songs. And
did you go after He Stopped Loving Her Today?
Well, I won't lie to you. It might be on there. I recorded that about a year ago.
Wow.
And I didn't really want to because, you know, George Jones, that was his signature song, and nobody will ever sing it like George. But we got the track cut, and I done my best to sing it like James, as close as I could to the way I would sing it, and I was satisfied with it. So it's coming out.
Wow, what else will we hear on your new release?
So you hear Things Have Gone to Pieces. Wow. You know that one, and you might hear got a soldier song in there. You know, I kind of, I recorded Private Malone and, Jason's Farm.
Wow.
I recorded that also. And then there's an old Hank Williams tune that we bluegrassed up really quick, like called Devil's Train.
Mm.
And then that's a few of them to choose from, you know. But I'm really pleased with how it's going to sound. It's a really good recording, and I'm really looking forward for it to be coming out. It's coming out on Rounder Records.
Hey, do you think you'll be singing any of those tracks at the Jamboree?
I'm sure I will. I've been singing some off of the record because it's closely on its way. It's not going to be very much long.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We're looking forward to being there.